Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we sit down with the one, the only, the amazing Kellyanne Conway from Turning Point USA's Young Women's Leadership Summit. You're going to hear about her exclusive insight into the Trump presidency, her plans for the future, and how she is able to continue to implement the Make America Great Again agenda every single day. Please give us that 5-star rating, hit subscribe, leave us a review. We are surging in the charts thanks to you. Your reviews help so much. Let's not let the left dominate the podcast space. The more reviews that we get, the more comments you leave, the more we're able to succeed. This is Charlie Kirk, host of The Charlie Kirk Show. If you believe that you're not being snooped on or that nobody cares about your online data, I'm just sorry to disappoint you right now, but you're wrong. This is why you need to protect yourself against government hacks. No matter what is happening, you need to protect your phone, protect your data, protect your tablet, you name it, with, guess what? ExpressVPN. What is a VPN? A VPN is basically a shield that protects your phone, protects your tablet, protects you from bad actors. Bad actors, criminals, foreign governments that might want the stuff in your computer. Right now, you should use ExpressVPN. It's the fastest VPN I've ever tried, and I've tried a lot of them. I use ExpressVPN. Right now, as I'm recording this, I'm looking at my ExpressVPN checkmark on my computer. I know right now that no foreign government is able to look at my stuff, and I'm able to actually record this with a lot more certainty. That's why I use ExpressVPN. It's time to stop the hackers, Big Brother, and internet companies from grabbing all your data. Take back your online privacy like I did with ExpressVPN. Protect your online activity today and find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/Charlie. That's expressvpn.com/Charlie for 3 months free with a 1-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/Charlie to learn more.
Kellyanne, welcome to Dallas.
That was quite the introduction that my mother wrote. That was nice. Right.
Brandon Tatum is now hired as our new hype guy. What do you think?
I think
he is the best. Well, first I just want to say,
wow, what a crowd, Charlie. Oh, it's seriously amazing. I actually came for a very simple reason, to say thank you to all of you. Thank you for everything you do, for standing up, even when you stand alone, for everything you believe in. And I want to remind everybody in this room, ladies and gentlemen, we kept open the job of first female president of the United States, and maybe she's in this room.
Thank goodness she wasn't the first female president, or president at all.
Well, we're ready.
Thanks
for
to
it.
You, we by are, the way. You no, should give no, Kellyanne thanks,
thanks
for
Trump.
That, by the way.
Well, we had a great team. I do get a lot of credit, but I'll tell you, I think that wonderful natural leaders like Donald J. Trump and Mike Pence, they need the tools around them to help them succeed. And we had a fraction of the personnel and a fraction of the money that they had over there in Brooklyn. But that made us hungrier, and I think the two greatest assets we had were Trump and Pence. And so the ability to deploy them and to have candidates that were willing to do 5, 6, 7 stops a day, I'd say you could start in Michigan or you could start in Virginia, you can end it. Well, we'll do both of those. We'll do one on the front end, one on the back end. Because there's really no substitute for taking the message directly to the people, unfiltered, authentically, look them in the eye, show up. And he still does that in his social media platform. He connects immediately with people. I call it the democratization of information, where the president sends out a message, sometimes many in succession, and everyone gets to see it at the same time. You don't have to wait for the 6:30 evening news. You don't have to have somebody in a serious, somber mouth, voice whose teeth you never see because they never smile, telling you what he just meant, what he said. Everybody gets it at exactly the same time. The plumber on the job, the stay-at-home mom, the billionaire CEO who has 20 people curating his social media feed. Everyone receives it at the same time, and that really is democracy in action.
Well, and you have to see, he's the most transparent president in American history. I mean, he has direct access to the Twitter feed. Most other presidents, they go through 95 different people. I think it's awesome that he still has direct control over the messaging, just like in the campaign. And Kellyanne won't say this, but I saw it firsthand from the campaign, with campaigning with Don Jr. and Eric. I mean, you totally changed the tone and the energy of the campaign. Not to mention, I just loved turning on Fox and Friends I loved even more turning on CNN and just seeing you cross up those hosts, say, no, 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 not so fast, my friends. I mean, was anyone better than Kellyanne on cable TV? Anyone better than Kellyanne? No. And I truly believe you helped change the narrative from a cable news standpoint, just from what your commentary, your ability to create those viral clips and defend the president, when it really, you know, the campaign was looking for a leader. And there's no better role model in politics for young women to look up to than you. Truly, I believe that.
So, enough about me. Let's talk about the country and let's talk about you. I love some things on your agenda here, Charlie, when it talks about the leadership and the skills training. That's, to me, very, very critically important. I think the best thing you can really do is take those natural leadership skills, but connect it with other people who may have subject matter expertise, who may tell you the best way to knock on doors, write letters to the editor, get people involved, how to grow your social media profiles. Because I think the one thing I've always heard that's most disappointing and easily curable is people will say, well, I did get involved. I signed up, but they didn't give me anything to do. I didn't know what to do. Everybody seemed so busy around me. We need to deploy each other. We need to raise each other up, build each other up, especially the women, build each other up and share the load. I think if you have a 7-second version, a 70-second version, and a 7-minute version, why am I a conservative? Or why do I support Donald Trump as president? Why do I support the policies? You have to be able to say that because you're the best messengers out there for the following reason. People connect with messengers who they say, I like you, and you're like me. So the I like you part, same happens in politics, by the way, speaking of 2016, the I like you part, that's a little bit easier to understand. That's the, do I want to see you? Do I respect you? But the, are you like me? That's the connective tissue. Do we share experiences in common? Do we have common goals? Do we have common vision? Do you know what it's like to be in my shoes, to have student loans or to feel like you're failing in something or to not know how to start or to be grief-stricken or something I work on in the White House, to be dependent on drugs, to feel alone, to feel bullied, for example, to feel afraid? Are you like me is really that connective tissue. So the best messengers are each of you because that's the only way that we do addition. And not subtraction, not division. People will look at you and say, well, you're like me and I like you. We have a lot in common. Tell me why. I'll give you 5 seconds because I don't believe it, but tell me why you support these policies. What's in it? And then you can hold forth 6.7 million available jobs, exceeding the number of people looking for them. You already heard our friends talk about the lowest unemployment rates, but don't get inured to it. Don't think you've heard it so many times that it doesn't matter. It matters because it's historic, and it matters because for the 7th time since 1970, we have an unemployment rate below 4%. It matters because a few short years ago, ISIS was dominant, and now they're in retreat on their way to full-on defeat. It matters because this president keeps the promise of other presidents. 4 or 5 presidents promised Charlie to move the embassy to Jerusalem to recognize it as the capital of Israel. This president kept the promise. This president kept the promise. This president just went to Singapore for a historic summit. This president tries, and people still are wondering why he doesn't fit into the playbook. And that's really the cool thing. He deserves the credit because he's truly got in this for the right reasons, to be a disruptor. But what does that mean? When you go to Washington, a city that's built on special interests and sops to each other and special favors, and you owe no one anything, and you have this clear thought, and all you're told is you can't do that, you can't try that, that'll never work, that'll never happen, you can't win, don't even try. I politely say thanks for the advice and move on and do it and be it and try it. And he does that. And he's succeeding for all of us in such an incredible way. And I want to tell you, I travel frequently, and I'm just a staffer, but I can't go from here to there without many, many people coming up and saying, please tell him just keep on doing what he's doing. Please, thank you so much. Tell him, thank you, and I do tell him, thank you so much for making these sacrifices. Thank you so much for getting the economy around. Thank you so much for giving people faith in America. So it's really terrific, and it's a blessing to work there. It truly is. But when Donald Trump, you know, the one thing I told him, and I want everybody to hear this loudly and clearly, The day he asked me to be campaign manager was August 12th. It was a Friday. I kept my mouth shut for 4 days, and he hired someone else a couple days later to help, and we all got together. But I said, you know, you're losing. He said, the polls. I said, I looked at the polls. You're losing, but you don't have to. The election is currently about you. And he said, I get the best press coverage ever. And I said, yeah, but if the election's about you, you probably won't win. If the election's about her, you could definitely win. Because if it's about her, and she's defending the 62% of Americans at the time who said she wasn't honest or trustworthy, the problems that she was having, articulating message, people will then hear your message as a contrast to her. And sometimes that's what's important. This country's more than ready for a female president, just not that one. And it's that simple.
It's 2019. Everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. But before you go dropping ridiculous sums of money, hundreds and hundreds of dollars on a pair, you need to check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. Raycon is amazing. Whether I'm doing yoga, whether I'm stretching, recovering from my back injury, I don't need all those wires getting in my way. That's why Raycon earbuds are the best. Raycon earbuds are about half the price of any other premium wireless earbud on the market, and they sound just as amazing. Whether it be Snoop Dogg, Cardi B, a Melissa Etheridge, Brandy, J.R. Smith, they're all amazingly engaged and obsessed with this product. Raycon's E50 wireless earbuds have totally changed the game for me. They're so comfortable and so easy to take anywhere. Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet with no dangling wires or stems. Totally amazing. And of course, they don't just look great, they sound great too. Whether I'm exercising, whether I'm on the bike, no matter what it is, I need my Raycon earbuds. So right now, go to buyraycon.com/Kirk. That's right. Go to buyraycon.com/Kirk. Get 15% off your order. I'm literally giving you money. That's buyraycon.com/Kirk for 15% off your order. If you've been buying a pair, now is the time to get an amazing deal. One more time, buyraycon.com/Kirk.
I also do want to recognize what this president has done to empower women in this administration. I think it gets totally glossed over. In our crowd, we have the amazing Mercy Schlapp.
Stand up.
Yeah, stand up, Mercy.
Stand up.
She'll be
sit
speaking
down, Matt.
Tomorrow.
Matt,
yeah,
sit down. Matt. Mercy, stand up.
One of the amazing women in the administration. Of course, Kellyanne, not to mention Gina Haspel. Betsy DeVos, you know, head of DHS. The first African-American brigadier general in American history that was appointed. No one, I didn't hear the media talk about that whatsoever.
Linda McMahon, Nikki Haley.
Oh, yeah,
Ivanka
Nikki
Trump.
Haley, right? Oh, my, how could I forget?
Yeah. She here at night, yeah.
And so that's very noteworthy for a president.
Or Sarah Sanders.
Oh, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, not to mention.
Yeah.
I also had a female communications director for well over a year into the presidency.
That's right.
And I think that gets glossed over a lot in the media because it's a reality they don't want to admit. And they don't want to see that women are helping shape the most successful administration and presidency of our lifetime.
Yes, but it's what the president's really doing for the millions of women in this country that's most compelling. And if you just look at the economic measures, if you look at, again, the pieces of legislation, the executive action the president takes that others haven't been able to execute on even while they've talked about it, right to try legislation. And the STAR Act, I mean, really trying to help people in their biggest hours of need, Charlie. I think deregulation doesn't sound very sexy and exciting, but it's huge. And people will talk about that as much as they talk about the taxes when you move around. Entrepreneurship, so many women in this country want to create a parallel universe to the traditional workplace and convert a skill set or a hobby into a full-blown business that's lucrative. And the way they can do that is if the government gets out of the way. The way they can do that is if they have access to capital, but access to clients, access to talent. And he's really lifted so many of the burdens that many small business owners face. And he was an entrepreneur plus himself. The Small Business Administration under Linda McMahon's stewardship has given out $128 million more in the first year in 2017 than previously. So it's out there. And then just the national security portfolio. Again, by any objective measure, people feeling more secure and safe. And let me just tell you, it took a Manhattan male billionaire for whom most of his adult life was pro-choice to become the most pro-life president in American history. And it is really exciting.
Well, and it's not just the statements, it's the repealing of the Mexico City policy within the first couple hours of his presidency. He also defunded Planned Parenthood by $60 million. Not all the way there, but almost there, through rescission.
The family planning piece,
right.
That's right, under Title 10. And he had said that. He said he was going to do that, and he made good on the promise. Plus, he took a look at the maps. If you look at the qualified women's health centers across the country, they outnumber the Planned Parenthood facilities by about 16 to 1. And it's time that people just have to be held to account for who they really are. So stop talking about family planning when you perform one out of every three abortions in this country, when you make a ton of money doing it, when you get $500 million in taxpayer money every year, and then when you spend tens of millions of dollars in support of one party's candidates, of Democratic candidates. Oh, our money's not fungible. And so I think it's an easy call for someone like President Trump, who ran saying, I want to make sure that women have access to the health services, but not the abortive health services. Planned Parenthood doesn't do mammograms. And the only way we finally got them to admit that was a couple of years ago. Their president was forced to testify under oath in front of Congress and admit that they don't perform mammograms. Why was she there? Does anybody remember? Oh,
the videos.
Thank you. They were embroiled in a scandal.
Selling baby
body parts and fetal tissue. So this is an easy one. And by the way, I don't know most of you, but I'll bet you in a room like this that you have pro-lifers and pro-choicers. If this was an event on the other side of the aisle, you'd have one point of view. So the Democratic Party has more female senators, more female congressmen, but they have one point of view. We have fewer female senators and fewer members of Congress who are female, but they have two points of view. But most Americans aren't for sex selection abortions, really exterminating the next generation of some in the next generation of girls, of women. They're not for taxpayer-funded abortion. They're not for late-term abortion. They're not for fetal pain abortion, the halfway point after nonpartisan doctors and scientists say a baby can feel pain. But they are for the gift of life. And this is a president who I think his evolution over time on the issue is a very common and relatable experience for many Americans.
I think it's quite admirable, and he admits it. He talks about personal stories of someone that, I remember the story on the campaign trail where he talked about an individual family friend that they were thinking about having an abortion, they didn't, and he saw that individual grow up and became a total superstar, I think was the word that he used. And I think a lot of Americans go through that sort of journey, that evolution. In fact, I think we as conservatives should applaud people that are able to have the humility and reflect back on their positions and say, actually think differently on this issue because of this, and not castigate something they said 30 years ago and say, well, you haven't been a conservative for 50 years, therefore you're not one of us. I think that's quite admirable. Let's also talk about one of the initiatives that you've really been leading on, and that's this opioid epidemic. It's something this president has had amazing leadership on, thanks to your team and thanks to your wisdom and your creativity to be able to really draw a lot of needed exposure on it. So would love to give you an opportunity to talk about what the White House is doing, what you're doing, because this is an issue that's facing all Americans continually.
It is, and thank you for that platform, Charlie. And let me tell you that opioids are creating what's known as the most serious drug crisis in American history, which is saying a lot, isn't it? So we lost 52,000 Americans in 2015 to drug overdoses. And 2016, a year later, 52,000 became 64,000. And those numbers could well get worse before they get better. But this president, through his leadership, and the First Lady, through her leadership and vision, have come together, and we are executing a whole-of-government approach. We have about 12 of the different cabinet departments and agencies involved. And that's really made a huge difference here, because if you have the ones that the cabinet agencies and sub-cabinets you would think are involved, like HHS or the Surgeon General's Office, FDA, NIH, but also the VA, DOJ, DHS, but we've also have Department of Labor, Housing and Urban Development, USDA, giving guidance to rural America, labor and HUD, because we recognize that you need to treat the whole person. If you are fortunate enough to get into a treatment program or to go through a drug court program and emerge on the other side, you get out and you don't know how to connect with the housing opportunities, the employment, the workforce development opportunities. And we do have jobs now. And this president has invested in skills training, skills education, apprenticeship programs. People want to know the dignity of work. And sometimes when they get out of these treatment programs, the only thing familiar to them in their circle of life are the drugs, and they go right back. But his three-front approach is going to work, and it's already working. We see the reductions. The first is prevention and education, which includes a 30% reduction over the next 3 years in new prescriptions of opioids. We already see those numbers going down. Prevention education also includes the incredible successes we've had, Charlie, because this president has reminded Americans and put on the social media platform and committed his weekly radio address and an East Room speech to National Take Back Day. So basically, the president and the first lady said to everyone, there's a DEA program, go and bring your unused, unneeded, expired pills and tell everyone that you know to do the same. Go and help them clear out their medicine cabinets. And in October when they did that, Charlie, it resulted in 903,000 pounds. I just want you to wrap your heads around that. 903,000 pounds of tiny little pills, enough to fill up three Boeing 757s.
Unbelievable.
6 months later, another take-back day. I said, I hope we never exceed the record because I hope that everybody cleared out their stuff. That's pretty naive, pretty wishful thinking, because that netted 943,000 pounds. And so, even more.
Shows
but
a
at
huge
least people
oversupply.
Are getting it. We're 5% of the world's population. We consume many more opiates than you can imagine. But he's also funding treatment and recovery. He's taken great steps and rules changes. I can give you the details anytime, but I won't hear. And then, of course, interdiction and law enforcement as well. Now, I'll just tell you quickly a couple things. Opioids is tricky because they're legally prescribed medications. And so unlike when I was a kid, I'm 51 years old, you know, the drug addiction started in the alley. Somebody had a needle in their vein. They would show you that image all the time. This may end there, but it begins in the medicine cabinet, in the family home. And you open up that medicine cabinet at home or at your friend's home, and there's a bottle, that tiny bottle that contains pills, has a lot of familiar names on it. The family doctor, the local pharmacy. Mom takes them and seems really happy. When her pain is relieved, I think I'll just try one. You misuse someone else's prescription, and then it's a gateway into what's becoming an increase in heroin use, meth use. And I want everybody to know what this word is, fentanyl. Fentanyl is a synthetic opioid responsible for 20,000 deaths last year in 2016. Fentanyl is 50 times the potency of heroin and 100 times the potency of morphine. It's laced into marijuana sometimes. It's laced into these other drugs, and it's laced into street drugs that look like Xanax, look like Oxy. But we have to start at the beginning. The number one search for some people is, what is an opioid? Is this an opioid? Is that an opioid? So we're starting at the beginning. But it's this president's leadership. We work with governors. I work with both sides of the aisle. We're working with Congress this week. A lot of legislation went through Congress, and much of it can get bipartisan support. There was something in January the president signed in the Oval Office called the Interdict Act, and it had passed the House 412-3 and the Senate by unanimous consent. So there are some issues that are nonpartisan, starving for bipartisan solutions. Shall we show an ad?
Oh, absolutely. To get the Senate to unanimously agree to anything nowadays.
Consent.
So we're going to show a video that Kellyanne and her team helped put together on this issue.
So we have this is one of the four opioid ads that was released last week, and we partnered up with the Truth Initiative and the Ad Council. Of course, the Ad Council is Smokey the Bear, Friends Who Let Friends Drive Drunk, and Mind is a Terrible Thing to Waste. They've been around for 75 years. Really terrific to have their partnership because they net out donated media in the millions of dollars. So that's great. And then we partnered with the Truth Initiative. It surprised a lot of people. But they have a trust relationship with many youth who are trying to reduce smoking.
Right. So let's take a look.
They gave me Vicodin after my knee surgery. They kept prescribing it, so I kept taking it. I didn't know it would be this addictive. I didn't know how far I'd go to get more.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth.
So we're trying to convey two things in these messages. There are four of them. The other one has a man who puts the jack under the car and releases it on purpose on his body, breaks his back to get more opiates. The other one is a gentleman who's on a construction site as a worker and looks around, makes sure nobody's watching, breaks his wrist in the door. And the other one, I think is particularly jarring, is the one that Today Show showed last week, is a man who gets a hammer and just hammers his hand. Now, these two things I want to tell you, these are true stories, and they gave us permission to use them. There's no embellishment needed. There's no fictionalization needed. And the other thing I wanted to tell you is the message you just saw, which is what you just heard, which is for some people it only takes 5 days to get addicted. Be a somebody. Don't be a statistic. But I'm telling you, I just am one small molecule in this fight, and I've met way too many family members, grieving parents who had no, they'll tell you, Charlie, I just had no idea Johnny and Susie even had a problem. And so this president directed his Department of HHS Office of Civil Rights to issue a HIPAA clarification. There's a crisis exception there where if a loved one has overdosed, you hear about it even though he or she is over the age of 18 and has privacy rights. I met one woman whose husband is a Fortune 500 CEO, and their son died in the hospital where they had donated a lot of money. He had been in the same hospital five times, and he had overdosed, but they never even knew because he was above the age of 18. So are we going to say, hey, here's not violate your privacy rights by saying here's a crisis?
Notification.
Yeah, notification. Here's a crisis. Get your kids some help. Get your mother some help, by the way. This is not just a youth issue. But our first, we are showing youth this. And we just wanted to show people the extreme lengths folks will go to feed these addictions. This is everywhere. No state has been spared, no demographic group untouched. And it's just the sheer growth in use and overdose deaths. And this president really wants to bend the curve in the right direction. So thank you for allowing us to discuss that.
Of course. And there's another component of this where the president has had fearless leadership. He talked about it this morning on television, which immigration plays a huge role in this. Our open border policies allow drugs to be trafficked into this country with no opposition whatsoever. In fact, I went down to the southern border and I talked to Border Patrol agents, and they talk about the hundreds of pounds of opioids that are now being trafficked to the southern border. You can kind of tell what problems America's having with drugs by what drugs are being demanded and being illegally trafficked across the southern border. It's really horrifying when you think about it. And this president is committed to building the wall and securing the southern border, and I hope Republicans in Congress are going to cooperate with him on that. And he said as such this morning. And so I think it's important to realize that the opioid epidemic is also a tangent. It's also a byproduct of a failing economy over the last 8 to 10 years. The president is starting to solve that as people see their jobs disappear. And you look at the parts of the country that are mostly affected by the opioid epidemic. It's actually where there were industries that were decimated by bad trade deals and
Ohio,
the war on energy,
Kentucky,
and coal.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
So yeah, Ohio,
right.
Kentucky, Pennsylvania.
There's been a lot of literature about the economic component, and you're right. And we're just trying to give people hope and really to bust through the stigma and the silence as well, because people are afraid to come forward and say that they need help. I'll tell you something. Someone gave me this in New Mexico today because I talked about backing the blue. So it's for the police. And I'm so happy that this president shows such respect. It gives respect and resources to law enforcement, first responders, military, veterans. The veterans reform is just amazing. But Charlie, when it comes to drug demand and opioids and law enforcement, we go around the country and we're told by some of these fire chiefs that their stations are 3-4 times more likely to respond to a drug overdose than a fire. So they've adapted. They have converted part of their fire station to safe stations where they can do the warm handoff to the healthcare professionals, and they're saving lives, and we very much appreciate that. I want to tell you something, because I'm sort of a pro-press person who works in the White House. I think that we have joint custody with the press of the country for the next, well, definitely the next 6.5 years and probably beyond. But I will tell you, there's a story that I think should be a story for a week. It should have been shouted from the rooftops. And if you're hearing it for the first time here, that's part of the problem. Incomplete coverage. Not giving people news they can actually use. There was a seizure of fentanyl 2 weeks ago in Nebraska, and it was enough to kill 26 million people. And yeah, exactly. And if you're hearing it, if you, who pays attention to the news, educate yourself, keeps yourself informed, maybe has it on 24/7, if you haven't heard that, that's part of the problem. It could have killed 26 million people, had a street value of, I think, 21 or 22 million people. So what is that, a dollar? Not even a dollar a person. And so that's why the president wants different penalties, too. If you're a high-level trafficker, and that is responsible, 2 milligrams is a lethal dose. So to trigger some of these minimums, you need thousands of doses. And the president's entire point is, if you're responsible for putting that out literally into the bloodstream of the community and dozens of deaths, you know, a dozen or so deaths, God bless you. We say that here. And, well, God bless you all, but he sneezed. then we should, everybody should know those stories. And I saw another story yesterday in Ohio, same thing. Another story in Boston recently. Other story in New Jersey and New York, enough to kill people in the whole area. So we have to really inform ourselves about this. It's everybody's problem.
We have reached the midway point in the Major League Baseball season. The excitement is heating up, and this upcoming weekend is one of the golf's greatest tournaments, the British Open. There's only one place that has you covered, and one place we trust to make your bet, to make your wager, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code PODCAST1 for your 50% welcome bonus. We all know the Cubs are going to win the World Series, so you, too, need to make sure you bet on what platform? Betonline.ag. If you think the Yankees are going to win, that's okay. You can lose your money betting on the Yankees on betonline.ag. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code PODCAST1 or text BETNOW. That's BETNOW. Bet now to 238-669 to receive a 50% welcome bonus. Major League Baseball second half of the season is underway. British Open Golf Tournament. You need to get in on the action now. And yes, you can also make money on the Cubs winning the World Series. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
Well, another story that wasn't reported on is the Department of Justice just pulled off the largest widespread arrest of child pedophiles in American history, 2,300. I didn't see that on any of the major networks. 2,300 child pedophiles arrested in one day. May they never see the light of day again in rotten prison.
Well, when it happens in Russia, you'll hear about it. Maybe.
Right. Well, it's funny. You have the alleged top investigators at all throughout the government, the best lawyers money can pay for to try to find alleged Russia collusion. And the only thing that they've been able to find is that they've been the ones colluding all along. go figure. So kind of transitioning to your brilliant analysis of public trends and polling. And where do you see us heading into November and beyond, just as a public sentiment, politically? Because you're able to predict people's political behavior in a way unlike anything I've seen. I mean, you ran the best polling company in D.C. for a long time, and I think a lot of people in this room want some clarity of what's really happening with the economy, what's going to happen in November, the map, so on and so forth. I know that matters a lot to
so
a lot of people.
I'll tread carefully here because
no, I know
here
you
in my
to.
Official capacity. I'm not endorsing any candidates, believe me.
It's a meander.
But I think a great tagline for 2020 be 2020 perfect vision. So just thought I'd get that out there somewhere.
That's actually
before someone
really
steals
good.
It. You can have it. So I'll say a couple things about the public appetite. Yeah. I think approval ratings, but I wrote this 18 or 19 years ago. I wrote a piece called The Unbearable Lightness of Approval Ratings. So I'm in good stead here. I think that if the president's approval ratings are 45, they're probably 52 or 55. And it's for the same reason, and they also don't matter, by the way. I wanted to make that point. So when they're 60 one day, I'll tell you the same thing as when they're 36. Because that's not the best measurement for how people feel about their own lives. It's just, it's too detached. And during the campaign, under what became international ridicule, since I first said it on a show, like NBC's version of London's version of NBC, that there's this undercover hidden Trump voter, and everybody laughed, like, "Oh, come election day, they'll still be hidden, ha ha ha." And oh, Charlie, I worried every day. Every day I woke up during the campaign, I'm such a like calm person. I worried every single day. I'd worry. I'd wake up and I'd say, "Dear God, please." Please don't let this be the day that Hillary Clinton finds a message. Every day I was so worried. And it never happened. Never came. But anyhow, on the undercover Trump voter, they're still there. They're undercover. You know what? They're thrilled that he's the president. They're thrilled that 5 million Americans have received bonuses or raises or both. They are thrilled that our employers in this country, our corporations in this country, our job creators have a 21% tax rate now, underneath the 23% average in the developed world, where it was 35%, way and above the highest in the developed world. They're thrilled that Apple has announced 20,000 new jobs. Believe me, if they could have done that in the last administration, they would have. They couldn't. It's not economically feasible, and they're going to repatriate. So they're people are thrilled with what they see. They know we're more prosperous. They know we're more peaceful. But they're just tired of arguing with people in their circle. They know that what you see on TV or you read in print exists in their own circles. People who look like they've been sucking on about 10 lemons, just miserable about everything. I don't know, it's got everybody so miserable. I think it's such a great time to be alive in this wonderful country. We're peaceful, we're prosperous. And so that's going to matter. Now, I'll say a couple things just as a sterile political analyst, not endorsing anyone. Number one, everybody knows what the party in power, the grievous losses they suffer generally. And Bill Clinton, 54 seats lost control of the House and Senate in 1994, his first midterm. George W. Bush, 2002, was after 9/11, and the country, I think, was a little bit more unified. But then 2006, they got, and that was more about the Iraq war and some things. But 2010, President Obama called it, I think he called it a shellacking, and he was right, 63 seats lost. Now, each of them went on to be reelected president, but this president isn't looking at that. He's looking at this fall, I assure you. And even though the historical trends are as such, you look back at 2010 and 2014, I was very involved in those elections, and people who had voted for Obamacare were defending their votes. They had to defend their votes because it was already not producing what it promised. We all know the big lies, you can keep your plan, you can keep your doctor, but people were getting nervous about losing benefits, losing hours, losing wages, losing jobs. And that was meant to help people who didn't have health insurance, and people who did have it were also having some things diminished, some of them. And so people were defending their votes for something that was unpopular. This time, I think people will be crowing about, bragging about, wink, wink, bragging about what the tax cuts have done. But not just that. Other things, all these economic indicators. You just can't argue, unless you're Nancy Pelosi and somehow last week said,
crumbs.
Hip, hip, hooray. Crumbs. I'd like to tell her, that's real bread, lady. Those aren't crumbs. But people know that. They see that. And so there's a disconnect, just like there was during the campaign. There's a total disconnect between what people are told and what they see. And you're always going to go with what you know, with what you see, what's tactile. And I know there are people out there going to say, well, the tax cuts are unpopular. Look at the poll. There's nothing unpopular about more money in your paycheck. There's nothing unpopular about a 3.8% unemployment rate. There's nothing unpopular about consumer confidence, small business formation confidence, manufacturing confidence. Industry conference is nothing unpopular, especially to me, first person in my family to go to college, let alone law school, where everybody I love, I went to school with everybody in my family, hairdresser, welder, mechanic, shopkeeper, carpenter. That's back in this country. That was dying. That was on its back. Just stick everybody in a four-year college and keep going. This president is dignifying every type of career, every kind of work, investing in apprenticeship programs, telling people, go get a skill certificate. And support yourself. And you know what the net is? It's not just talk. It's the usual Trump walk. It's that we have 337,000 new construction jobs, over 300,000 new manufacturing jobs. We have new jobs in timber, in mining. His political opponent in 2016, that woman who lost, whose name I never say anymore, lest people say I still say her name, her, she promised to put the coal mining industry out of business. And they're saying, she didn't exactly promise that. That's what they heard, so I'll go with it. I know them. I grew up around them outside Pennsylvania. She said she threatened their livelihood. We now, that's bad. All of that is back. Mining, timber, construction. This president promised America first. Not America alone, but America first. And he's made good on that promise, whether it comes to trade or immigration, taxation, national security, renegotiating really bad deals where he feels like America and American workers are on the receiving end of bad deals. We're getting screwed. And so I think all of that will matter to people. And I don't really see much of a message. I see the same message right now that I saw in 2016, which is Trump is bad, we're not Trump. That's not a message, that's a complaint. And maybe they'll get a message, but is the message, you're for tax cuts. I think we should raise everybody's taxes. I think we need more regulation. I think it's just not going to play. It's not going to sell. Now, the retirements will hurt the Republicans. They've got 40 retirements. I think the Democrats have half that number. But this president and the vice president and others will be out there for candidates. They will divide and conquer the electoral map like they did in 2016, and they'll be very active. I saw the president's schedule for this on my personal time. And it's Mercy News. It's very active. He'll be there. And I think his poison pen Twitter feed and social media presence will really stick it to those red state Democrats who pretend that they work with him and they vote against everything you care about. They vote against Neil Gorsuch, tax cuts. They shut down the government. That's not much of a message.
We're talking about you, John Tester, Heidi Heitkamp, Claire McCaskill, Joe Manchin, Sherrod Brown, Bill Nelson. going to have to find some new work a year from today. Yeah, exactly. Joe Donnelly. There's going to be, you're going to have to find. And Tammy Baldwin, I think, actually might be in a little bit of risk.
You might see the president in an RV in Missouri. I don't know. I mean, my favorite Chiron the other day was.
Well, yeah, Claire McCaskill's on a private plane.
McCaskill on her private plane during RV tour. That's, so that'd be great.
What, they're so wonderfully in touch with mainstream America. What I find, so it's funny, Kellyanne, you can't say this, but so I'll say it. The Democrats' message for 2018 should be vote Democrat, bring back ISIS. So that's politically correct, right? So it's like they say everything. We have to reverse everything Trump is doing. So as it's a women's summit and the time we have remaining, what advice do you have for young women leaders, especially young women leaders in politics? For female empowerment, choices to make, career decisions, and kind of how you see the landscape today in politics and in media. Because this audience looks up to you in such extraordinary ways.
I love them back. It's very clear. I absolutely do. I really do. And I admire your moxie. Literally, when I was your ages, which is a long time ago, I almost feel like it's Parents Weekend. I feel like it's a Mommy and Me convention. Every time I take a picture with a young person, I'm like, it looks like a Mommy and Me picture. Terrible. But seriously speaking, when I was your age, I didn't know anything about this. I knew nothing. I grew up in a very apolitical household, Charlie, and I wanted to answer your question this way because I think it's a common experience. I grew up in a very apolitical household. We had pictures of the Last Supper and the Pope on the wall, certainly not of Reagan and Kennedy. I don't remember anybody ever having a political conversation of any type. I was raised by my mom, her mom, and two of my mother's unmarried sisters. I call them South Jersey's version of the Golden Girls with the house coats and everything. And it's a great way to grow up, but they raised me to be a conservative without ever saying the word. And I wanted to answer your question that way, because your life experiences and your beliefs, that has formed who you are. And you ought to share it that way. You can start with the politics, maybe, but people don't like politics. I don't blame people for saying I hate politics. I get that. But politics is just a process. It's just a means. The end is where the juice is. The end is the public policy. The end is so that, back to my point, if you, someone who they say they like and is like them, stands up and says, look, here's why I'm a conservative. You have to be able to say unapologetically with your head held high, and remember, nobody can make you feel badly without your permission. I'm yet to grant it. And also, I want to tell you something. Since you didn't ask my advice, but Charlie asked me to give you advice. They asked me, you know, what do you wish you knew when you were 20? Definitely how to buy Apple and Amazon stock for sure. But more
so
practically,
which ones are those today?
More practically speaking, I wish I had known how important it is to have joy in everything you do. It seems so simple. And I was your age 30 years ago. Now, I really do think the natural resting place is negative. It's loaded for bear. It's hunched over. It's, what happened? Where'd that go? Who's zooming whom? I really think that the ability to love what you do and believe in what you do makes everybody around you feel the same way. And it's a huge, huge contrast. The other advice I would give to my younger self, I would give to you, is learn to accept the word no more than you say it. You will be rejected. Somebody else will get that seat in that college you feel you deserve. Somebody will be promoted. Somebody will get that job. You'll be passed over. Your heart will break romantically. You will be told no many times in your life. But don't say it quite as often as you hear it. Be the one people can rely upon. Be the yes person. Be the person who says, when you get older, learn how to say no for sure. But right now, say yes to everything you can, because you'll be the reliable person. And when you say, I don't believe opportunity always knocks twice. And if people say, well, I don't know, I have plans, I'm a little tired, this is the day I walk my dog and I go to the movies, they won't ask you the next time. And I really think that's incredibly important. But the other thing is, only you know what's important to you. I made different choices throughout my life. I had children, I got married and had children older, but I always knew I wanted to do that. And so I think women can have it all, just not all at the same time. And if you have, and I absolutely believe that, but you have to know who you are. I think women need to be product of their choices, not victim of their circumstances. And the last, that's true. And the last thing I will say is, be it and do it. Don't just say it and claim it. So those who say they're independent thinkers and they're pro-women and they're revolutionaries and they're change makers and they're, you know how you know they are? Because they'll tell you all day long if you let them. Be it. Do it. Don't just say it. Saying it doesn't make it true. If it did, we'd all lose the last 10 pounds and live forever and win the Powerball lottery. It doesn't make it true. You have to do it and be it. And don't worry about being different. There's something to uniqueness. I think, honestly, Charlie, I know a lot of people feel very under attack, under assault. I look at it a little bit differently. Why be part of the sameness? Everybody sounds the same. Why be part of the sameness? Why be a lemming? God made you unique. Channel it. Be it. Do it. Put it forth. I mean, you know what you have? You know what everybody in this room, you look at me, you say, oh, she's counts to the present, can't be married. You know what you look, Charlie, you know what he has? Well, he does have it, so he doesn't count. You know what you all have that most Americans don't have? The biggest part of the future. And I would have told my 20-year-old stuff, 4/5 of your life, God willing, is ahead of you. So don't rush it. Don't rush through it. We sequence our choices now. And you have to really think about what's important to you. And I see women violate that big and small. Small violation of being true to yourself and knowing what you want. Asking a total stranger who just happens to be the server or the waitress, what should I eat? Well, how the hell does she know? Does everybody here do that? What's good on the menu? What should I have? She didn't know you. That's a small example. Big example, asking other people where you should go to college, what you should do when no one's... The biggest choices you'll ever make are, I think, I'll say one big choice you'll ever make, is what you do when no one's looking. So put some good around it. Do well for yourself. Don't be the person everybody else thinks you should be. And you will not be a conformist. You won't be a lemming. Everybody will see you as a revolutionary and independent thinker and certainly pro-woman. You won't have to say it. Because after all, Charlie, I'm going to channel Margaret Thatcher, God rest her soul, for every woman in here. Margaret Thatcher said, being powerful is like being a lady. If you have to say you are, you probably are not. So live it, be it.
Awesome. Well, Kellyanne, I just want to say thank you again. This has been such an honor. This is a historic conference, the largest gathering ever of young conservative women from 48 states. And I mean, I personally look up to you, and so many young ladies do in this room. And I try to, as you saw in those videos, exude the same grace and patience.
I love those videos. Well, I just keep smiling because I know it drives them crazy. They don't know what I really think.
I'm going to get in trouble, but I think Kellyanne would make a good first female president.
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm getting in trouble.
Thing, I don't want that to be the last word. I want to thank you, Charlie, and Turning Point, because we're at a turning point in our nation. What you're doing to inspire and to build up. You know, somebody of Charlie's age, I won't say stage because he's way up there, somebody of Charlie's age, it's very rare for them to want to build other people up. Like a Candace Owens. Like, no, just wait. You got to watch how I do it. I think a couple years from now, we'll put you out there. We'll get you some training. He's like, boop, right out there, lady. And she's there. He built her way up. And I really appreciate that because those are true leaders. Leaders are people who are willing to share their gifts and give other people opportunities to shine as well. But I want my last comment tonight to go right back to your wonderful donor that you recognized before. If you're 98 and a half years old, I would say, were you born in 1920? Were you born in 1920? 1919. She was 1 year old. She was an infant when women got the right to vote. So don't waste it. Use it proudly.
Thank you.
What a great conversation with the amazing Kellyanne Conway. To learn more about Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. Please support our sponsors. And one last thing. Please give us that 5-star rating, leave a review, press subscribe, and find three people to also subscribe to this show. Help us beat the left in the podcast space. Press subscribe, leave a review. Press subscribe, leave a review, rank 5 stars. We so greatly appreciate your support. Please give us those 5-star ratings, leave a review, and we'll be back with more on The Charlie Kirk Show. Please leave those reviews, everybody. We read them. It helps us so much.
It was a crime no one expected, and one many can't forget. 22 Hours, An American Nightmare, a new podcast from WTOP News and Podcast One, details the heinous murders of a D.C. power couple, their 10-year-old son, and housekeeper inside their own home. The complicated trail of evidence.
She thinks she knows how Darren Wint got inside the house.
Oh my God, I saw Amy yesterday.
And shocking moments from the trial.
His defense team drops a bombshell.
Will this investigation lead to the release of confidential audio recordings from the case?
So it's under general counsel review. I mean, I'm committing to making a transparent court.
22 Hours, An American Nightmare. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts today.